Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Good morning. Good to see you. We're in our Bibles in 2 Timothy. So take your Bible, if you would, and go to 2 Timothy with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And pray for us, especially Miss Bonnie. She's got a little new medicine, a little new blood pressure medicine to control the blood pressure. And most of anybody that's taken this stuff, I take some kind of blood pressure medicine every night. It makes you dizzy if you're not used to it, so she's got to get past that and take her a little while, but her routine doctor visit, her routine's every 3 or 4 years, but come out pretty good, and we're happy about that. And, God is good. Somebody asked me how we've done. No complaints, man. Blessed, amen? Just good. Enjoyed all the fireworks. Feast, the TV, you know, in the comforts of home, amen. So I enjoyed that. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is our 21st lesson that I've put together out of 2 Timothy. And I need to begin at verse 10 and chapter 3. And the footnote at these chapters, at chapter 3, in any Bible that has some kind of footnote, some Bibles don't have footnotes. But in the Scofield footnotes, there it's called The Apostasy Predicted, The Believer's Resources, and The Scriptures. And that's pretty well said. And by the time you get to chapter 4, it'll be a faithful servant and his faithful Lord. So it's all about ministry. These chapters are all about ministry and how we do things, what we do for the Lord in this life. And I know we sometimes busy ourselves, as I have, with all that we want to try to get accomplished in life just because we're human beings and we live a life and we mow grass, we paint houses. You know what I'm saying. We work jobs, and there's so many things you can do. But I have found this out. The longer that I live, the less important those things become, and the more important the things of God become. So ministry is definitely a focal point to be focused on for the saved person. And the earlier in life, your Christian life, that you can focus and maintain that focus, I believe the happier you are in the Lord. Somehow, Paul learned how to be content with such things as he has. No matter what, food and raiment, be there with content. And that's a minimal sentence in an age of multiple things. So look at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Let me read a few verses, and then we'll come back and make comment. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So he's saying a lot there to the child of God that dare be some kind of minister for the glory of God. And when you see that, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Obviously, the thrust of the thought, or what he wants us to focus on and think about, are his doctrine. We must know Paul's doctrine. That seems to come down. If we are to minister in the New Testament church, and as a pastor, teacher, assistant pastor, evangelist, 40-something years, 44, maybe going on to 45th year, I have seen a lot of zeal in people that come to church, and a lot of that zeal can be channeled into learning the doctrines of Christ so that you can function properly in the church. Now, zeal without knowledge or understanding or the doctrines of Paul, you'll fizzle pretty quick. It's one thing to, you know, get on the bandwagon, yeah, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to run out there and I'm going to be the best. And that's all good. That's well and good. But you're going to need something to solidify, something to anchor to when the storm comes. And if you don't have the doctrine down, believe me, you'll be scratching your head, why am I suffering? Why'd this happen to me? What happened? You'll be throwing your hands up saying, I don't know why I ever wanted to do this. But, well, you're a product of no security. Dr. Paul was a stable and a secure man, and he goes through a whole list of things. But first off, we must know Paul's doctrine if we're to minister in the New Testament church. It's hard to start a ministry with someone that doesn't and is not well established and grounded in the faith. And when I say that, I don't mean knowing every little jot and tittle of the scriptures. I just mean knowing some basic doctrinal truths that Paul sets forth and prepares one for ministry as he's here. So say, well, where would we start? Well, number one, you have to understand preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching, and we're to preach the gospel, and we'll talk about that in a minute, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a doctrinal knowledge of what we're to be preaching as preachers. Now, I'm in the preacher circle now, but let's step into maybe the non-called individual. Maybe you're a deacon. Maybe you're a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a Christian worker in the church, and you just want to work. Then you still are obligated to know the doctrine of Paul if you're going to minister successfully for the glory of God. So preaching, understand that, what it is, why we have it, why God called preachers, and what the preacher is to preach. Obviously, the full or whole counsel of God, beginning with the doctrines of the Apostle Paul found in the scriptures. Teaching, okay? How am I going to teach? It's very hard to be a teacher in a New Testament church if you do not know the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. You say, well, I believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. No, I got that. But that's why he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, to the exemption of other doctrines in the scripture. And now you enter into I hate to use the term, but you enter into a denominational dispute of those that see the scriptures differently or have an opinion of what this means, that means, this over here means, and Paul really didn't mean that. I'm going to stick with what Peter said. Be careful there. There was a debate over those very issues in the book of Acts. And before you finish the book of Acts, it's all of grace. And so, but a lot of, down through the ages, people, this group would believe this, this group would believe that, and this group would believe this, and these folks would believe that. And so you have all the denominational differences. You say, why? They're not all on the same page when it comes to the doctrine of Paul. So preaching, teaching from kids to adults. If you're teaching adults, this is an adult class, all the way down to the children's class, teen class. And could I say this? I believe, as a preacher, that kid classes and young people classes are some of the most important classes in the church. The junior church, the teen group, whatever. You say, why? Because those are all young people that do not know the doctrines of the Apostle Paul or of the church. And our business as ministers is to be grounded ourselves in those doctrines so that we can begin, through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to teach those doctrines even to our young people. That's our next generation. Man, I'm 71 years old, 70. I don't want to rush it any, 70. And some of you that's older than me say, that's young, you're just a pup. Thank you. But the next generation is coming. And the children that are children now, if the Lord tarries, will minister in the church. And by, could I say this? The doctrines that we're talking about here, Paul's doctrines, are not going to change. I don't care if ecumenicalism comes in. I don't care if non-denominationalism comes in. I don't care what sect comes in. The scriptures and the Bible are not going to change. And if you've seen that what he said there, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. The scriptures have never changed, never will change, aren't going to change, so we need to be grounded in the word of God on Paul's doctrine. So preaching, teaching, even if you're teaching children, and children very important to teach, and people struggle with, what should I teach? I don't know what to teach this week. What in the world am I going to teach? And so we live in the day of media, so we jump online and we download whatever somebody else said. Could I say this? The teachers and preachers and evangelists and missionaries are to be given to the Word of God in prayer. And there's a saying out there in preacher land today, copy, paste, and repent. You say, whoa, why? Well, it's at my fingertips. I just use what's at my fingertips. You'd be better to pray and ask God to give you something from the Word of God. So, well, I just can't keep up. I can't do all that. Then I would relook at my standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not against helps, and I love helps. I use helps, but I'm careful that I try to get what God wants me to say. I do not copy my Sunday school lesson from Emmanuel or somebody else. You say, what do? I try to every... It's either a Friday morning or a Saturday morning. I sit down for a couple hours. I enjoy research. I enjoy study. And so I try to make a 4 or 5 point outline on the lesson that I want to bring at what God wants me to say for our particular church and our people. I'm not trying to reach the church down the road. I'm not trying to reach the people across the way. I'm not talking about anything on a national level or a worldly level, although a lot of it's applicable. I'm talking to us. So here, we can be better preachers, better teachers, if we learn and are established in Paul's doctrine. Many things are taught in the church that are not Paul's doctrine. Amen. And our church is no different. And we teach by example and by what we do. If we're not faithful, don't expect your students to be faithful. If you're not punctual, don't expect your kids to be punctual. That plays all the way through life. If you have a job, you got to be on time. And you got to stay till it's quitting time. You understand what I'm saying. None of this is hard. It's just the application. So, but a lot of things we teach in the church today, one thing about the Apostle Paul, he was a faithful man. You could count on him. He was there through thick and thin. And our comings and goings, our daily conversation, which is not what we say but what we do, is a great part of our teaching. If we are in a teaching capacity or preaching capacity, it says a lot to all the folks that look at us and watch us come and go. So his gospel. So the things that we teach in church a lot of times are not and do not line up with Apostle Paul's doctrines. We got to be careful there. I'm not going to try to point these up. I simply said that and made that statement that when we go to teach something, when we go to help someone, make sure we think about what we're doing and we say, well, and if you're not sure, go to the pastor. Go to one of the pastors and say, hey, I'm thinking about this, 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 but I'm just not sure. What would be your spin on that? And I thank those of you that have done that with me, with Jeremiah, with Brother Tom, or whoever else is in leadership. They say, do you think we can do this, or what about that, or we're going to put a program on and we want it to be biblical and scripturally centered. Do you think maybe I should leave this part out here and use this? What's wrong with? No, that's gearing it to fit the ministry here and to line up well with the Word of God. So, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. It's very, very important that leadership know the doctrine of the Apostle Paul. Even from a child, he says, verse 15, he says, even from a child, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's clear down in verse 15. Could I say this? A lot of folks, that come to church and finally get into ministry, get saved a little later in life, haven't known these things from a child. Or if they come from another walk of life or another religious culture, they won't have known the doctrines of Paul. They may know a different ideology, a different religious experience. And I've heard many times in our church, well, we didn't do that where I went to church before. We just never done any of that. Well, my first question is, does it line up with the Word of God? And if it didn't, then I understand why maybe that church is different like it is. So here, he says, even from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So that accounts for two things here. Number one, some people don't get that experience. You've had a hard bringing up. You didn't learn these things. You didn't know these things. But it's never too late to learn. It's never too late to take a spiritual step and to learn a little more. And second thought in this child thing is children are important and they need to be taught as this young man Timothy was. His mother and his grandmother taught him the principles and precepts of the Scriptures. And he even says, from a child thou knowest. And so a lot of homes today, people in church, we'll just keep it here in church, they rear their children. They get them a good secular education. They make sure they go to 12 years of high school. They help them get into college. And they are preparing them to live their life successfully. And all that's good and necessary because it takes a lot to make it today. But some of the weightier things on the spiritual side of things is we need to supply for the spiritual need of that family and make sure those children are trained in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in godly things. So most parents, they say, well, I'll take my kids to church on Sunday morning and they'll get the spiritual stuff they don't. Listen, even the public school sees the fallacy of that. They got you 5 days a week and they can, in 5 days a week at 8 hours a day, however you figure that, they can just about brainwash your child. Amen. And there's a lot of good schools and a lot of good teachers, and they're not trying to do that, but and then other schools, it's different. And when you get to college, they really work on you. So if a parent doesn't do anything but take their child to Sunday school on Sunday morning, and then that's it, I doubt seriously if they'll be well-grounded in New Testament doctrine, and here in this case, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, the doctrines of the Apostle Paul. So, well, how are they going to learn that? Well, they're going to learn that. They should learn it from home, because every day in the home, I think if you're Christians, our children used to read their Bible, and I didn't make them read their Bible. I'd say, did you do any Bible reading? Yeah, I read two verses. Good, better than no verses. Amen. I would make sure that they had Christian material. If they wanted audio, we got Christian stories. If they wanted books, we got Christian books that centered on fundamental gospel things. You say, well, that's a lot of work on the parents' part. Yeah, but it's the weightier matter. So when your kids finally grow up, they will go in the direction that they have been trained. And if you've tried, and I got seven kids, and I'd like to stand here and tell you they're all doing great and they've all done great. Nobody's ever been in any trouble. No, that's a joke. You say, why? They just like their old man and their mother. But it's a full-time job. But however you train them, you pray that that training will establish them to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be a good Christian. They'll want to come to church, they'll want to be faithful, and they want to be a part of ministry. And ministry simply means reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if your child is raised and they say, oh, I don't want nothing to do with church, and I don't want nothing to do with God, and I grew up, you tried to train me, but you know, it just ain't working out. And I don't, some of that, boy, when you look in the mirror, you're thinking, man, I wish I could have done that over. And I get it. So how you live, your value system in your everyday life, Where do you place your values? Are they on spiritual things, Christian things, ministry things, or are your values on carnal things, worldly things, and things that are carnal in the sense that they'll finally pass and it's over? Spiritual things don't pass away. So verse 10, he says, and I read verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Watch the next commas, two commas, manner of life. And when it says manner of life, he's simply saying how you live, your value system in your everyday life. Well, I thought preachers were the only ones that got up and prayed in the morning at daylight and read their Bible for 2 hours and da-da-da-da-da-da. No. I read where Suzanne Wesley, who was John Wesley's mother, she trained those children and she spent time with them in the Word of God and gave them Christian principles and the doctrines of the New Testament to live by. Say, well, she was trying to make preachers and missionaries and evangelists. No, I think she's seen the weightier matter, the spiritual things that matter. So here, when no one is watching you, here's a good question I ask myself. When nobody's watching you, how do you act? What do you allow yourself to get away with? Nobody's watching me. I'm good. I'm just good. I think Todd told me a story. He always wanted to smoke a pipe. We've all smoked. Big deal, you know. Just you want to smoke a pipe, go get a pipe and smoke it. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. But we had told him that smoking's wrong, probably damage your health, not good for you, and bad testimony. It's what the world does. You don't really need that. And somewhere along the line, he's out someplace in a faraway place, and he goes in and he buys him a pipe and some tobacco, or he starts to. And I'll probably get the story all screwed up, but he said he looked over there and there was somebody he hadn't seen for years. He said, what is that? Well, I don't know. Your sin finding you out? I don't know how you want to look at that. Well, to be my luck, you know, I get up in some faraway place and I go in to buy myself a six-pack of beer. And I'd look around, there Ted Rogers be standing. What are you buying, Brother Phil? Man, you see what I'm saying? And I don't drink beer. I'm just making an analogy here. And you learn these little things from your kids, from other folks. I pastored at High Point Baptist Church in 1985-86. Had about 200, 250 people when I started. Had about 100 when I left. I was a wreck. But anyway, first church, didn't do anything right. But anyway, I'm in the grocery store at Kroger's on Route 44 there at Mason, Montgomery, the Mason area over there. That's where the church was. And I go down the aisle pushing the cart by myself, and I see some lady at the other end whip around the corner real quick, and I didn't recognize her. And I somehow turned around, went down the other aisle. She was coming up, and she turned around and beat it down the other way, and I said, I think that's the lady from church. I can't even remember her name. So I went on all the way around, and I shouldn't have done this. But I caught her, you know, head on head. Oh, Brother Phil, I'm sorry, Brother Phil, I'm sorry. I only wear pants when I go to Kroger's. That's the only time I wear pants. I said, I couldn't believe it. I don't care if you wear pants. Say, what was that? I don't know. I'm just sharing this morning. I don't care if you go naked. I don't care. But when no one is watching you, let me go back here. How do you act? What do you allow yourself to get away with? That's a good question to ask, because look, behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon thee. Amen. And he sees you no matter where you're at, what you're doing, and the Lord's the one we have to try to please. I'm talking about Christian values in personal life. So verse 10 again, manner of life, then purpose. And I think we can take purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, kind of in one breath. And we do have a purpose. And the purpose is higher than what we want to accomplish in our carnal life. Faith speaks of the real faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Long-suffering speaks of how to get along with folks. Just be patient, long-suffering. And then he even says charity, willing to give. And people sometimes, you know, they'll talk a good Christian life, but their real purpose is found out in their real actions. Their real faith is found out. Their long-suffering, they're not long-suffering with anybody. Their charity, forget about giving to anybody, amen, or anything. And patience, blow up at a drop of a hat. All right, do these things play out in your personal life? You say, wow. I'm talking about knowing the doctrines. If you knew the doctrines of the Apostle Paul, you would have a check on your manner of life. If you well established in the doctrines of the New Testament of the Apostle Paul, your purpose would be in focus for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith would be strong. Your long-suffering, more like Christ. Your charity and your patience, godly. So verse 11, well, let me say this. In verse 10, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. If these things do not play out in your life, you may be operating under some other gospel. Because remember, Paul said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, and the doctrine boils down to what he preached and his gospel. And I get asked quite a bit, how do you handle all these different denominations? I'm not saying they're all wrong. I'm just saying here's one of the reasons people go to different places and attend different churches. And number one, standards. Number two, doctrine. A lot of folks don't want a lot of doctrine. Doctrine is fact, fundamental scriptural fact that you're going to live by. And if you don't have that, they want to substitute doctrine. They want to substitute emotions and feelings for just doctrines and spiritual practicalities. You got to be real careful there. And some people say, well, I just want to go where I can sit back and just feel. And it's all about feeling. How do I feel today? And it's an emotional thing. And Saul wanted to feel better. So he called David in to sing and play on his harp. You say, why? So that the evil spirits be cast out. I do the same thing. There's times I just want to hear some music and kick back. But I don't want to lose focus of my real mission and ministry. So the four gospels found in the New Testament are, of course, people say, well, how do I get mixed up on other gospels? Well, the first thing people think about are the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke are, I think they're called synoptics, and that's just a fancy word. I think I might even wrote that down in John. The first three of these are usually referred to as synoptic gospels because they look at things in a similar way, or they are similar in the way that they tell the story, and that's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar in their stories. But they're considered the four gospels. Now, that's not what the Apostle Paul's talking about when he talks about his gospel. He's not talking about the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You understand that, defined by context. But the word gospel in our text is not referring to the first four books of the New Testament, rather the message of salvation. And the message of salvation is Paul wanted Timothy, number one, to be straight on the message of salvation. Brother, there's no other way. And the first thing that we ever want to see in a minister, a teacher, a preacher is, are you preaching salvation straight? Plus or minus nothing. And if you're not, it'd be sure hard to give you a position, give you a platform, give you a class if you're not sure on your salvation. You understand it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. And everybody has to draw the line somewhere, and we surely would have to draw it there. If somebody was preaching the wrong gospel, it'd be hard for them to come in here and instruct us because it'd be a conflict of interest. So in Galatians chapter 1, this is Paul writing. to people that were struggling with the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of salvation. And this is the cornerstone of the Apostle Paul's doctrine. He says, I marvel in verse 6 down through verse 12 in Galatians chapter 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now they were saved, and they were started out right, but they believed another gospel, and they were getting mixed up. Now I've studied the book of Galatians backwards and forward, and I can tell you in a nutshell, their problem was adding works to salvation, the works of the law. And in Galatians 2:16 is probably the best verse of scripture you'll ever read that establishes that it's not of works and grace or works, and it's grace only. Probably the greatest verse. But anyway, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God. So it is possible for somebody to get saved and to grow up in a spiritual culture where they teach another gospel. Absolutely. And they will add works to it. They'll add tongues to it. They'll add sacraments to it. Very hard to take away from the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. But the devil's really slick in adding something to it. Well, you can get saved if you speak in tongues. You can get saved if you get baptized. You can get saved if you have good works. That's not the gospel of the Apostle Paul of the New Testament church. So he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, which is not another. Now, say, explain that to me, Brother Phil. Well, through the age, from Matthew to Revelation, and you could start in Genesis, and I possibly should, in Genesis to Revelations, there will be at least four major ways that God deals with man about his soul, and each one's considered a different gospel. Bottom line, God has always been concerned with the soul of men. Bottom line, it'll always take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase your sin debt. Back up to Genesis. Jesus hadn't died yet. So God kills a lamb, sheds that blood, lets the guy die on credit, Adam and Eve. Amen. Say, what was that? God dealing with man in God's way at that time. Now, guess what? I can't preach that gospel to you today. Say, gospel, well, doesn't gospel just mean good news? You better believe it means good news, and that was good news for Adam and Eve because it meant they wasn't going to have to go to hell. You say, well, what was that? But I can't preach that to you today. Now, I can preach it in type and tell you that that lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and make a spiritual application and then finally a doctrinal application that Christ died on the cross, and I would be right and it'd be scriptural. You say, why? Because I've had to entertain Paul's doctrine of salvation and show you the foreshadow of it back in the Old Testament. But there be some people that just believe in keeping the law to get you saved and nothing to do with Paul. You say, what are they? Well, he says later on, let them be anathema, maranatha, let them be accursed. That's what he says. That's pretty sad. So he says, which is not another. So there are other gospels, and I'm going to be out of time, but there are some that trouble you. Oh, there will always be some. Remember last Sunday's lesson. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what they do. They pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven, well, don't forget, the devil himself can be transformed into an angel of light. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Well, God don't need any persuading. Or do I seek to please men? And we shouldn't ever seek to please men. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But a lot of ministers have chosen to please men. Just say those things that are appealing, those things that are easy to hear, those things that don't ever call a name, don't ever point anybody out, just be sweet all the time. Well, that's another gospel in itself. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, well, what was that gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And verse 11 and verse 12 of our text are about sufferings for Christ, because the gospel Paul preached, you're going to suffer because of that gospel. But back to our text, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. Can I submit this morning to you? There are a lot of Christian workers, a lot of people that may even be in positions in churches that do not know or practice the doctrines of the Apostle Paul of this New Testament. Therefore, and there are plenty that do, and those folks suffer for it. But moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Say, what is that? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the plus or minus nothing. That's the gospel Paul preached. So the death, burial, and resurrection is our gospel, and it brings suffering to those that preach it. If you stand, and I just give you the first principle of doctrine. We're out of time. If you take a stand on that, well, I think people get saved different ways. Yeah, in different ages, but not in the church age. We're late into the church, not in the church. I'll buy it over in the Old Testament. I'll buy it in the days of John the Baptist. And the other gospels are preached are the gospel of the kingdom. They were looking for a kingdom, Matthew 24, 14. The gospel of the grace of God, that's be that thing Peter was preaching, repent and be baptized, Acts chapter 2, 38. A lot of people out there today preaching that, and that's their cornerstone in their church, and that changed by Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The glorious gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And by the way, the glorious gospel is the only gospel that the devil's trying to blind the minds of those that believe not. He ain't worried about the gospel of the kingdom, because that ain't going to get you nowhere. He ain't worried about the gospel of keeping the Old Testament law. He ain't worried about the gospel that Peter preached, John the Baptist preached. He's worried about the gospel that Paul preached. And then the everlasting gospel is going to be preached in the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. So we are to preach the glorious gospel. That's the one Satan blinds the minds of the lost that they might not see. This is Paul's gospel. And that's the cornerstone. The first thing, if you need a teacher, a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, you know the drill, a song leader, whoever in leadership, the first thing you want to know is, how do you believe a person gets saved? Say, what is that? That's Paul's doctrine. New Testament Church, thank you for your time. Father, thank you for this morning. Bless the Sunday school now to the hearts of those that hear. Bless the remainder of our service, the singing and prayer and the preaching and the offering and souls that need to be saved and those souls that need to be helped. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you. Good morning.